I was getting my hair cut and came back from getting my hair cut and enjoyed a cup of coffee and a chicken biscuit. And the Lord says, just pull over there and sit on that thing over there, gazebo thing, whatever you guys, whatever we call it, the shelter half thing, whatever it is. What is it? Pavilion. Okay. Anyway, sit over there and just enjoy just biscuit and coffee. And it was nice, cool breeze was blowing. I mean, it's just perfect. So I said, hallelujah, I was out here. And I was out there for several hours reading my Bible and just enjoying the Lord. And then the pastor came out there and says, what are you doing out here? And he didn't say that really, but we were out there talking and enjoyed the Lord. And then he brought his Bible and we sat there and talked and read the Bible together. And that was just a good time, amen. It was a blessing, amen. Little things like that mean a lot, amen.
Amen, yes, sir.
And the Lord's in the midst of it, and just praise the Lord for that. But we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can get your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The title of the message is 2 plus 2 equals 4. And I was really hoping that Ed Alexander's would be here today, because I was going to have Nate stand up and tell us what 2 plus 2 equaled, but he's not here today, so we'll just have to forego that, amen. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to be reading out of verse number 14. But I just want to pray and ask the Lord to be here in our midst. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for loving us the way you do, Lord, and just being so complete and entire and just meeting every single need with the love that you have. I thank you, Lord, that you don't have to look for resources, Lord, or outsource anything, but you take care of all of it. I appreciate that, Lord. I thank you that you're the only one we need. And I pray, Lord, earnestly tonight that you would just make the message you've given me, Lord, upon my heart just clearer to us tonight. Lord, just use me and just fill me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Help me to get out of the way. And Holy Spirit, just speak through me so we can be encouraged, strengthened, and just receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Timothy 3:14. We'll start reading in verse number 10 and go all the way down through 17 there. It's a good passage. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers should wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. That's all we're going to be reading. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. But the main verse we're going to look at is verse number 14. But there's a lot of stuff in that passage there. And it's a very good passage. And it's really good for discipling, especially verse number 16. It breaks down a four-point plan there about how Scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Four different reasons that doctrine is very, very important to you, or for the Scripture is very, very important to you as a Christian. And a doctrine being one of them, it's a very good study there. But what I want to talk about tonight is something that's it's a principle that we use our whole entire life as we grow and we mature and we learn things and we assimilate things and we use things and then after a certain time goes by, then we really get a hold of what that truth really means. It's like it becomes ours. It's not just something we know or something that we use, but it becomes ours. And I just want to get that principle across tonight, and by God's grace, I hope he will help me do just that. But in 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. First thing we see here, it's something that we need to continue in what we have been taught. Something we have learned, something we have been taught, and that's from the Word of God. Things that we were taught is something that when it initially is conveyed to us. When we're young Christians, we're taught a lot of things, amen? The Word of God is there to teach us a lot, and even as we grow in the Lord and saved for, you know, several years and maybe even a couple decades, we go to the Word of God, we're still going to be taught. And it's just a wonderful resource. It's a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual reality. That's why God's able to use the same book and make it brand new every day. You open it up. But we're constantly being taught. And as we're taught some very basic things from Scripture, that heaven is real, hell is real, Jesus is alive, the devil is real, the Bible's true. These basic things that we learn as Christians, we learn to assimilate things. We're taught these things initially, early on. We're taught early on, and sometimes we're taught over and over. In Ephesians 4:20, we're taught, the first point is early on. Early on in our Christian walk, Ephesians 4:20, it says there in Ephesians 4:20, it says several things. Let's go look, start in verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then he says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Paul's saying you have learned some things. You as a Christian, the church there in Ephesus, you have learned some things, and you have learned that the stuff he's listed here before is wrong. You had Jesus Christ did not teach you that. The Holy Spirit did not direct you in this way. This is something that is wrong, and you have not so learned Christ. He's bringing this up because he's holding them accountable to the reality that they have been taught some things. God has given them the truth of Scripture to some point. They understand to some truth to some extent, and he's holding them accountable to that fact. He wants them to realize that, yes, we do know that. We do know some truths. Yes, God has taught us. He's instructed us to some extent in our life. We have been taught. And he's saying, you have not so learned Christ. Jesus Christ is a big difference. Oh, yeah. And as we live our life for him, he is always there for us. The pastor made mention of his teacher from second grade, Miss McAllister. And I went to several schools, actually 13 of them in 12 years, so I can't remember all the teachers I've had, but there was a bunch of them. But there's a lot of teachers that we'll never see again. A lot of them probably impossible. They're dead and gone. But though I've been saved for quite a while now, since 87 or 86. I think it was 87 or 86. Anyway, I've been saved for quite a while. The Lord is still there every day for me. And the Holy Spirit, as I open up the Word of God, though this may be the sixth or seventh Bible I've gone through so far, as I open up the Word of God, the same Holy Spirit sits down with me and says, here it is, Larry, let's go at it again. And I start circling and underlining and writing notes and writing stuff down, because once again, I'm being taught over and over again. We have not so learned Christ. We, as Christians, we incorrectly view our life here as children of God as an avenue to presume upon God. I believe we do a lot of times. And I said it before that when we stand before God someday, and we will, we won't think the way we think now. When we stand before God in eternity in heaven someday, and we stand before him eyeball to eyeball, one-on-one, we won't think the way we think now. We'll say, man, I wish I would have done this. It's too late then. Obviously, we can't. But we won't think the same way we think now. And so I just want to encourage us to stop thinking wrong now and get it fixed now so we can make use of it for the Lord and honor and glorify him. Here Paul's saying, ye have not so learned Christ. There is a difference in what you have been taught. And as a Christian, we don't just come to church to learn and read our Bible and learn the doctrines so we have a bunch of head knowledge to spout off to somebody to impress them or maybe to sound spiritual or whatever. But we learn it so we can use it in our life.
Amen.
That's why I chose the title, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Every single one of us learned that in school. Now, sad to say, they don't anymore. Just anyway, don't even go into that, chase that rabbit. That's just where it's done deal. But this group here, we are blessed with ability. We know what 2 + 2 = it's 4. And we learned it because it was drilled into us day after day after day until we did get it. Amen? And so we learned it. Yes, 2 + 2 = 4. Yes, you get the quiz, you write it down, 2 + 2 = 4. We got past the second grade or whatever that was. And then as we go through school, we used it. You use it, you don't lose it. You use it in fifth grade, in sixth grade. Then you use it in algebra and the distributive properties of algebra were the different things like that. And then you use it in all kinds of different areas. You use 2 + 2 all the time. It's just like second nature. And then it just eventually just becomes part of who you are. 2 + 2 = 4. You just know it automatically, like you know your name, your address. It's just part of who you are. You don't do the 1, 2, 3, 4. You just 2 + 2 = 4. You just know it. Right, Connie? We don't use our fingers, do we? No. Amen. That's one thing that really just irked me when Chrissy was growing up. I said, don't use your fingers. Learn how to use that in your head. Use your head. She said, but Mom, I said, no. We're not going to use our fingers. So, but praise the Lord. Amen. 2 + 2 = 4. We learned it. We used it. And now it's part of us. We just automatically know it, like we know our address. As our Christian life progresses, God expects that same thing to take place in our lives. We know God is real. We've learned that from Scripture. We weren't taught that in school, but we learned it from Scripture. And God, Holy Spirit, He circumvents the whole garbage sow that we went through in school and evolution and everything else, and He supersedes all that, get past all that, gets in our hearts and lives and helps us to realize, and He illuminates the Word of God to us. We learn what's really true and really matters and the truths of eternity contained in Scripture, and we learn and we say, yes, I understand Jesus is God, and yes, I understand heaven is real and hell is hot, and sin is the cause, and death is sin is the cause, and death is sure, and Christ is the cure, and we learn all these things that heaven is a horrible, a wonderful place, and hell is a horrible place, and it's everybody's going there except for people that trust in Jesus Christ. We learn about the truths of Scripture and the spiritual realities. We learn those things, and then we use them in our life. You know, you say, well, I shouldn't do that anymore because I got this weird feeling like the Holy Spirit's telling me not to do this anymore, and you start to learn. It's like a blind man feeling his way, but you're kind of spiritually doing that in your life, and you learn, so, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to avoid that and try to go this way more. And you just start to progress in your Christian walk as you grow, and you start to appropriate the Word of God, and you start to assimilate it inside your life, and you start to use it, and you realize that it's true. You start talking to people, and they have situations in your life. Say, hey, you know, why don't you come to church? And the Lord has a verse for that. He can meet your need, you know. And they come to church, and they get saved, and praise the Lord. Now you get somebody to disciple. Now you're in the Word of God together with them, and you go on for merrily for the Lord. And God just keeps on growing, and you keep on growing, and you have a young child in the family. You teach them about the Bible, and teach them about going to church, and Daddy, why do we talk to somebody who's not in the room? And you talked about prayer, and while God's there, He can't be seen, but He's there. And you start learning and assembling the truths of the Word of God, and they become part of you. And when they become part of you and your fabric of your life, then God can use you. But that's the very last step. I think in our Christian walk, many of us were still in the initial stage of just simply learning stuff. And he says here, you have not so learned Christ. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. There are people that don't go to church, and they'll double dog dare you to ask them to go to church. And at the same time, they can quote verse after verse after verse after verse to you, and you can just sit there and go, you know, they know more Bible than you do. But then you look at their life. What good does it do them? I mean, it's not a contest to memorize the Word of God, see how much you know and how much you can cram in your head, and then please God with how much you know. That's not what God wants. Right. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Of whom we have many things to say, Paul says, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil. People are still to the point where they need to be taught over and over and over again. And they could have been in church for 5, 10, 20 years or whatever, but they're still in that situation. And the thing is, the Lord is wanting them to come along. He wants to bring them along so they can get to that meat stage, so they can start using what He's taught them and start applying it and then make it a part of their life. I made the comment a while ago, and I probably made it a couple times over the years, but I've been married for such a long time that I honestly can't remember not being married. That's just who I am now. That's my wife, my girlfriend, and I'm Mr. Martell, and that's who I am. I'm just married. And I've been saved long enough to where that's pretty much the way it is. I can't really remember not being saved. And I remember when I was a little kid that, I mean, I can't remember, you know, making decisions and thinking about things. And I've always been saved. I've been in the church or in the Bible or hearing a preacher or something like that. I've always had that influence. It's just who I am now. And it's only because God has been teaching and showing and bringing me through against what my flesh wants to do, and just bringing me through every day in a faithful way. As I go to church and I hear go to Sunday school, and just go to church and go to Sunday school, and over and over and over again, read the Bible every day, go to church, just over and over again. And it's always been the same book, and praise God, He made it simple that way. Hallelujah. I don't have to wait next year to get a 2019 edition of what God said. Amen. I still got it.
Amen.
It's always on time, exactly perfect, and
yes,
exactly
sir.
What I need.
Amen.
Every time. I mean, every
Amen.
Single time.
Yes,
thank God He supernaturally did that, because it makes it a whole lot simpler for us down here now, the way we're in.
Amen.
But anyway, he gives the Word of God, and as we learn it and we apply it to our lives, and as we our family and our decisions in our lives are guided by what God wants to do, then it becomes a part of us, of who we are, for Him, and now God can use us a whole lot more. People, when they first get saved, they have a zeal. It's just the way it is. I mean, you get saved, you want to charge hell with a squirt gun. I mean, you learn the Bible. That's really true, and God did that, and praise the Lord, I don't have to go to hell, and that's forever. And it's like, I want to tell everybody. And you have a zeal, but they're dangerous, because they've got to be taught still. Now, they have the desire to go out there and charge hell with a squirt gun. They want to tell everybody that, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved and everything. And that's good, but they've got to be taught. And then they get to the stage where they know they're saved and they've been taught and they understand the dynamics and the homiletics and theological implications of the different doctrines of Scripture, and maybe they learn some things about the Old Testament and dispensationalism, and they start to learn some things, and they've been taught, you know, and they understand a little bit more deeply, but it's still not a part of who they are. Because God would rather you know one verse and live one verse 24/7, make it a part of who you are, live, be faithful to that verse and be faithful to Him. God would rather have that person than a person who knows all kinds of verses and doesn't live them.
That's good.
Because the devil knows the Bible better than you ever will.
Yes, sir.
That is a fact.
Yes.
Now, the devil will not go to heaven. Amen. He's never been in hell, by the way. He's not there now. He will go, but he's not there now. But he knows the Bible better than you do. But God's not going to use him for an evangelism campaign anytime soon. God wants a heart that wants to serve Him because they want to.
That's it right there, brother.
Nothing warms the heart of a human being than when somebody voluntarily goes to them and says, I did this because I love you.
That's right.
And what really, really just turns the key for me is when it's a child or a grandchild. That's awesome. because you know that little heart, that sweet little heart compared to the adults that we have. They take it upon themselves to try to do something for you. That, there's, you cannot buy that. You, it's hard even to describe it. That is exactly what God is wanting from us. And when He sees our... And listen, we don't have to have it spit and polished. We don't have to have it without any, you know, bent corners or crooked lines, or maybe we missed the glue in a couple places. God doesn't care about the quality and the visual aspects of it. What He cares is the motive in our heart as we bring it to Him, because He is going to use it the way He wants to. I mean, God can do anything He wants. He helped Moses deliver 3 million people, about that many, with a stick. I mean, all he needed was a stick, for crying out loud. He said, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" "Stick. Here's what I can do with a stick, Moses. Throw it on the ground." We don't have to bring to God anything that's fantastic or grandiose or super, you know, awesomely cool. We just got to bring what we got. And some of us, like the ladies, I mean, praise the Lord, they still know how to sew and make stuff. Like Susie does the jewelry with the beads and stuff. And Miss Rosella's got that plastic canvas, is that what it's called? And doing that kind of stuff, that needs to be done. That needs to be something we convey with one another, especially with the ladies, and bring the younger girls in and let them know that there's something we can do together and rejoice in God, and then use that stuff that we've made to dispense out to other people at the care home, at the veterans home, or on the street, or to missionary families when they come in, or whatever, as a way to just give out the Word of God to people. Amen?
Amen.
Use what God has given you. Amen? We are so wrapped up with the world's mentality that it's got to be glitzy and glamorful, and it's got to be, you know, whatever the latest thing of Windows is now. I don't even know what it is now, but, you know, it's got to be the latest version. It's got to be this. It's got to be Wi-Fi. It's got to be, you know, cordless and all this other stuff. But God just needs the motive in our heart to be pure and right, and God can use whatever we have. Because what we have is what He's given us.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We don't have to have what we think we have to have. What we need is the Lord. 2 + 2 = 4. We were taught that years ago. We learned how to use it on a regular basis. And now it just becomes a part of who we are. Would to God, that is 2 Timothy 3:14. We look at that again. 2 Timothy 3:14. It says there, "Continue thou in the things that thou hast heard, learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." God has been teaching you the whole time, whether it's with a pastor, whether it's a missionary, the cassette tape, or maybe you're reading your Bible yourself, the Holy Spirit's teaching you, or correspondence course, whatever. God has been teaching you as His child to come along with Him, to learn the Word of God and see how it applies, and to make it a part of your life, so when things come in your life, you let Him guide and direct, and you're a testimony and a shining light for Him, not just another Joe doing things the world's way. We're taught, we're taught 2 + 2, we use 2 + 2, and then we finally own it. Look at Job 23:12. He makes a very good statement. Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. Job 23:12. He makes a very good statement here. Job 23:12. "Neither have I gone back with the commandment of from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." God's Word was a lot more than just something He was taught. You understand? It was a lot more than just some little ditty that He memorized for Sunday school class. God's Word to Him was His life. He was for the Lord. That's all there was. I mean, everything was taken from him, and he was still for the Lord. He refused to go against God. Now, he still had some lessons to learn, even in that situation. He had some lessons to learn. However, he makes a statement that I have esteemed. He has put the emphasis himself. He says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. I think God's word is more important to me than my next meal. Job said that personally. He made that call himself. Why? Because he was taught it at a young age. He used the word of God, and it became a part of who he was. Amen. He was known as righteous Job. I mean, he was a righteous man in all the earth. I mean, he was really built up by the Lord there in verse chapter 1 there. I mean, and when the Lord called out the devil and said, hey, look at Job, check him out. This guy was to behold even by the Lord. And he said himself that he esteemed God's word above his own food. God was real to Job, amen? And God blessed him incredibly. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. The psalmist says something there really good. Psalm 119, how we need to just own what God is teaching us and make it a part of our lives so we can be better used of him. Psalm 119, I know there's a lot of verses. I'm getting ready to give it to you. Psalm 119, verse 162. The psalmist says there, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. This spoil in this word, this verse, is a good thing. It's a term that is a good thing. It doesn't mean that something's green and fuzzy and you throw it out. It's a good thing. It is the result of hard labor looking for something that you are being rewarded with. That's the spoil. Like at the end of a battle, you go get the spoils of war, as it you would say. But he says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. If you find like a whole mountain of gold nuggets and gold bars and everything, that's not something you would just go, oh, that's pretty nice, and then walk away from. You'd be like, did anybody else see that? Let me cover it up. I'll come back and get some more. You know, you'd be tickled. You'd be toting that stuff away till it was all gone. You'd wear yourself. You'd kill yourself getting that stuff to your house. You would. But do you do that with God's word? Because our lives show outwardly the lack of that. In this world, we all will say, amen, I agree, that we're in the last days. Yes, sir. I mean, who'd have thought we'd have a Muslim as president? Twice. Who'd have thought that? I never would have. Look at what's going on across the world now. We're in the last days. This, if there's ever been a time for us to shine brighter as lights in this world, like Jesus told us to, or to be the salt of this world, like Jesus told us to, if there's ever been a time, it is definitely now. So the Word of God has to become more and more important to us. It has to become part of who we are, because listen, if they do come through those doors and they take our Bible from us and they take the hymnals away and they do make a big bonfire of them, what is your Christianity going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and cry and just be, blah, 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 or are you going to say, well, I got a few verses memorized. Lord, help me to remember what I can now. And I got some Bibles hidden at home still. Maybe I can get by with those and try to memorize as much as I can. What are you going to do? I mean, if somebody came and told you you could not have a Bible and they literally came and took it from you, what would you do? You're not allowed to do that. What are you doing? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This whole world, when it comes down to it, this whole world is going to come up to be nothing but an ashtray. The whole thing. And only what we pass on to heaven, supernaturally enabled, that as we are by God Almighty to do it, pass on our treasures up into heaven, but the Word of God shows and tells us how we do it, living for Him, only those things that we pass on are going to be there when we get there. And then even the works that we have in our life are going to be tried with fire, and there'll be a lot of piles of ash in heaven too. that we'll be sifting through, trying to find every, you know, a little rock or some emerald or stone to say, yes, I have something to say thank you with. We have the emphasis, and listen, it is that way because this world is forcing it on us 24/7. If we don't take time out and just stop and get away and shut the door, like this one guy preached somewhere, I remember, heard a message, just shut the door. Might have been you. Shut the door. If you don't shut the door and get alone on purpose, it ain't going to happen, period.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how much money you give in a tithe. I don't care how much time you spend reading your Bible. I don't care how much time you go to church. I don't care how many times tracts you give out. I don't care. None of that matters. Because if you don't spend time with God on purpose yourself, none of that stuff is going to matter. That fellow was here Sunday night, Shoemate, at the end of the service. We had a few words together, talked a little bit, and we talked about how God just wants to get us alone so we can change our lives. You know, I was said that every time, you know, the God gives a glimpse, we get alone with God and we get a glimpse of heaven from through the pages of Scripture or the Word of God, you know, we get a glimpse of God, we just don't think the same way. And I said, yeah, He just wants us to get us alone and just change our lives one event at a time. That's all God wants to do. He wants to change our life so He can use us more and more. And the only way He can do that is if we can get alone with Him, allow Him the opportunity and the time to focus us in the right way to where we can see what He wants us to see. 2 + 2 = 4. We know it automatically. But scripturally in our lives, when the pop quizzes come, things happen in your life and your family, do we react like the world or do we respond with this? I mean, if we learned it to where it's part of our life, this is going to come out. But if we don't, we're just going to react. And God can't use that. He can't. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.